Welcome to the Album Nerds Podcast with your hosts, Andy, Don, and Dude.
Yo, MTV Raps. This is the Album Nerds Podcast. I'm Dude. I got Andy and Don with me. You guys ready to yo?
Yo, yo. You know, I always got some yos ready for you, man.
Yeah, you're the yo-yo master.
Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
Don, what's up?
Well, I'm the album nerd, and I'm here to say... I'm glad you're cutting me off.
Why is it always I'm here to say?
That's how it always used to be.
Yeah, it's true.
When I was in sixth grade and hip-hop was making it to the suburbs, we were supposed to do a end-of-year thing, and one of the moms wanted us to do a rap where we were all supposed to... We're the sixth grade class of Lincoln School, and we're not here just to try to be cool. Like,
that's some old school if I ever heard it.
Yeah, a mom with a wedge cut teaching us how to rap is not not the way it's supposed to be. All right, so yes, this is the Album Nerds Podcast. We love talking about albums, the album format, and spending time with each other.
That's the best
part. That's probably
part.
What it's all about.
It's a little quality time here.
Yeah. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about albums by artists that appeared on Yo MTV Raps, and we'll get into the details of what that is if you're unfamiliar. So we're going to each bring an album to the table there. Additionally, Don's going to ask us a deep question, then we're going to give some shout-outs to some album-related items we're digging in, then, of course, we're going to spin the wheel of musical discovery to find out what we'll talk about next time. This week, it's all about the Yo.
Yo. Talking about
Yo MTV Raps was an American television music video program which first aired on MTV Europe from 1987 to the mid 90s and on MTV USA from August 1988 to August 1995. Yo MTV Raps included a mix of hip hop videos, interviews with stars, live in studio performances, and comedy. Run DMC hosted the pilot episode in the U.S. On August 6, 1988, with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince as the program's first guests. The U.S. version was originally hosted by Fab Five Freddy. Later, the show's co-hosts were Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. They were later joined by T-Money. The advent of Yo MTV Raps in the late 1980s was crucial to spreading hip-hop around the world. Today, each of us will present an album that includes a track featured on Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah, I mean, pretty straightforward in terms of the research. Kind of kept us in that late 80s to early 90s realm. So how'd you guys do?
Well, I found a bunch of stuff that I was not familiar with previously. So it was a good time for me. The main records I enjoyed were from a group called Main Source Breaking Atoms, 1991. That was very good. I almost went with that one. That record has that great track towards the end of the record, Live at the Barbecue, which is kind of like a who's who and up and coming in hip hop in the early 90s. I also listened to a record from a group called Third Base, who I was not familiar with.
Yeah, MC Search.
Right? Yeah, I remember their Pop Goes the Weasel from another album.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that from nursery school.
The Weasel.
Hey, buddy.
Didn't expect a Pauly Shore reference in the middle of the hip hop episode here. Okay. Yeah, the record, the Cactus album, was very good. I really enjoyed it. And I listened to KRS-One's subtitled album from 1995. Very good, but very dense.
Yeah, he's a very intense dude because there's something about him where it's just kind of like he dares you not to understand what he's saying,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, it felt like kind of like going to school a little bit, listening to that record.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to mention a couple of records that we did in previous episodes. We did De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising from 1989. We featured that on a couple episodes and inducted it into the Album Nerds Hall of Fame in episode 198. Also, Public Enemies' Fear of a Black Planet from 1990. That was featured in episode 217. And also, just thinking back to, you know, the videos I was exposed to watching Yo MTV Raps, there's one from the Ghetto Boys called Mind Playing Tricks on Me, which, you know, is a really kind of cinematic video, kind of different from the others. It's on an album called We Can't Be Stopped from 1991, which was okay, but I ended up going with something different.
Yeah, my first inclination was Biz Markie, The Biz Never Sleeps with
you.
Yeah.
Got what I need. It's a great song.
Oh, yeah. And the album is really weird. And I remember having a dubbed copy of it in high school, but it's not really in print. So I couldn't recommend it because people wouldn't be able to listen to it probably. So I then kind of tried to focus on more popular sort of pop, hip hop or rap of the time, like LL Cool J's comeback album, Mama Said Knock You Out. At age 22, he had to do a comeback album because he had started to be considered among the hip hop community for being too commercial. So he came out a lot harder on this one. It's actually a pretty good listen. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Home Base, which in the summer of 91, I was cruising around in my Oldsmobile Cutlass, blasting that with my friends, listening to Summertime.
Nice.
And there's some sampling on there of like Rick James and cool stuff like that. And of course, at the time, you know, Hammer, Young MC, Tone Loc, those were more the mainstream hip hop acts that the kids were listening to. But yeah, I dug in a little deeper to more of the peer stuff for this exercise.
Right, well, speaking of digging deep, whenever we do hip hop on the show, I usually say, better call Saul.
Hey guys, Saul here to talk about one of the shows that defined my teenage years, Yo MTV Raps. As a hip-hop head, my life and style were defined by the artists that I'd watch on the show every day after school. One of my all-time favorite groups and one of the absolute goats is A Tribe Called Quest. Though their debut album, People's Instinctive Travels, was a solid effort, the Low End Theory really brought them to the next level and is a definitive hip-hop masterpiece. There was no sophomore slump here. Low End, which was released in September of 1991, featured three music videos, including the debut single Check the Rhyme and a combo video for two album tracks, Jazz and Buggin' Out. But you can hardly overstate the importance of the group's quintessential hip-hop anthem, Scenario, which debuted on a Yo MTV Raps episode in March of 1992, where Tribe was the featured artist. The song that featured leaders of the new school launched Busta Rhymes into the stratosphere. This video and this album were simply creative gold. If you don't like this album, you don't like hip-hop. Thanks, guys. R.I.P. Fife Dawg.
Yeah, leaders of the new school were on my list as well, and just recently watched the Busta Rhymes Behind the Music, so I was definitely leaning in that direction. But yeah, great album. We've talked about it before on the show, right?
Oh, Andy? Yeah.
Quite a while ago.
That's such a classic. I'll have to revisit it at some point in the future so we can properly pay it homage. But yeah, great pick. So
yeah, maybe we'll get Saul on the show for that one. Get him in the conversation. All right. So thank you, as always, Saul. And it's time for us to get into our picks.
You choose me?
Well, you know, that's one thing I want to say about Ultramagnetic and this whole hip-hop thing, you know what I'm saying? The things that seem to be really most important to me are creativity, originality, and longevity.
Alright, that was Fab Five Freddy from UMBT Raps introducing Ultramagnetic MCs. We're going to be talking about their debut studio album, Critical Beatdown. It's kind of a pun. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Ultramagnetic MCs consists of Cool Keith, Sed G, Mo Love, and TR Love.
A lot of love.
Yeah, a lot of love in the group here. The album is particularly known for its innovative use of a new gadget on the market, which is called the EMU SP1200 Sampler. We are going to play the second single from the album. This is a little bit of Traveling at the Speed of Thought.
Smacking germs, eating bugs, biting mouse. Roaches wonder while I'm traveling. On to Bellevue because I'm sick. Traveling hard at the speed of thought.
It takes two to make a thing go right.
Yeah, some familiar samples on that track for sure. Mm-hmm. That's how the video was featured on UMTV in the, I believe it was the late 80s. My clickbait headline for this record is Album Nerd Suffers Critical Beatdown for Not Having Heard This Record Before. I was definitely new to this group. Knew Cool Keith a little bit from his solo material later in the 90s. But I was really impressed by what they were doing at this point. And this really record kind of floored me when I first heard it, to be honest. I think what drew me to this group was just how sort of like left field and like sort of inventive this sounds in comparison to a lot of what else is going on at this period, which is, you know, it's still pretty young in hip hop's life here and things are still getting figured out. But the production on this record just sounds so organic and like lived in and very, it's like very gritty, very raw sounding production. And you pair that with like Cool Keith, who's kind of like an abstract sort of like out there guy talking about a lot of untraditional things in his rhymes. In that track there, he kind of like touts like maybe the instability of his mental faculties. Yeah. There was actually like a rumor maybe he spent some time in Bellevue Mental Hospital, which I guess was unfounded. But he's kind of a weird dude. And he talks about like just like odd things about like meat and like surgery and brains and stuff a lot. Like just weird, untraditional stuff in hip hop, which I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the uniqueness here. And I think this was kind of like the puberty period for hip hop where it was really starting to grow up. And there was a lot of experimentation from a lot of different artists all taking chances and
discovering their bodies.
Discovering their bodies, but discovering their personalities and letting those out, not trying to be a thing or replicate what was before, but start to innovate.
Yeah, exactly. Hip hop starts to feel more personal and it's less about just making hip hop. It's more about like who we are as individuals. So I think it becomes interesting on this record. Let's play another cut from the album. This is called Ease Back.
First time I heard it, I thought they were saying he's back, but in fact they are easing back.
Yeah, I like the little call outs a lot. In a lot of these songs, they say each other's names before their lines and stuff. I kind of like
that. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
It's helpful. appreciate that.
Yeah, in fact, you know, like a lot of the songs, you have Sed G and Cool Keith kind of taking turns with verses. My clickbait headline is Ultramagnetic MCs and Innovation, Elevation, Psyching the Nation. I think those were lyrics I stole from one of the cuts there.
Oh, you weren't spitting your own rhymes?
Sounds like a Don's original to me.
It was a fun record, and you know, I'm still kind of a novice when it comes to hip hop, but I think Andy's right that it does kind of stand out versus other records at the time. Comparing this to the other records that we'll discuss today, it seems a bit lighter or maybe a bit more fun. I think a lot of the lyrical content, you know, at times gets silly, kind of feels maybe more freestyle-ish than the other two MCs we'll talk about. Lots of mentions of like pop culture, got a Jetsons reference in there, Anacin, which I don't know if they still make that, the painkiller Anacin, remember that?
Yeah. God, yeah, that's using brand names is probably
not a good idea.
Not wise, just because what if they don't exist anymore? Yeah.
And there's even a Star Wars sample in there somewhere. It still feels somewhat minimalistic, but there are lots of samples going on, right? So it's not like they're just taking one little hook and playing it over and over. They're mixing in a lot of things. So I definitely recognize the innovation in this record. The two MCs, they kind of have like a youthful delivery, I would say, and they're kind of, they're up here rapping up in like a higher register, you know.
Yeah,
like,
totally. I think they were pretty young guys at the time, so.
I just wish that the listening audience could have seen Don's hands as he was trying, as he was spitting there.
Yeah, but you know, like we're going to talk about a couple other guys that are more, you know, sorted down here when they're rapping.
Right. A little more mature, perhaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right about the production, though, Don. So CG, who is handling the sampler there, just, you know, figuring out a lot of these ideas for the first time. And really, this tool was just invented the year before. And yeah, I mean, the record has tons of samples and they're like very choppy, I would say, in terms of how they're presented. And the whole record just has like this sort of like grungy crunchiness to the sound, I would say, in comparison to the other records, I think is a result of sampling some of those sounds and playing them back. I think it's cool. It feels very artistic and organic to me. All right, why don't we play one more cut from the record? This is the third track, Ego Trippin'.
I am approximate, leaving revolution. is turning emerging chemistry with people.
Yeah, so Ego Trippin' is one of those We're Better MCs Than You type of songs, and you know, I think they recognize some of the unique things they were doing, and they bragged about it as they went. Sparse, minimalistic production style. Both Sedgy and Cool Keith delivered some complex, like unpredictable lyrics, and I think that's part of the fun of this. Mm-hmm. Some synthesizer riffs, the sample of Melvin Bliss's synthetic substitution, which I guess has been used in a lot of hip-hop songs, is used here supposedly for the first time. But the pseudo-scientific language, the manic delivery, the rapid pace, and then Cool Keith critiques some of the simplistic rhyming style of Run DMC by kind of poking fun at Peter Piper.
Oof.
And I think that plays into my clickbait headline, which is Ultramagnetic MCs, creators of the new old school with creative production. I think they were calling out that old stuff and saying, see, we're bringing it to the higher levels. Mm-hmm. And this album does seem to forge that path for hip hop. I mean, it grew up fast, right? I mean,
yeah, just a few years, really.
As technology grew, the ability of artists to manipulate that grew, and the music got more and more interesting.
Yeah, well said, man. Well said. I think they did view themselves as kind of like being on the forefront and kind of pushing the bleeding edge of where hip hop was going.
Yeah, like innovators, not imitators.
Exactly. That kind exactly.
Of thing. Oh, I almost started. I felt the spit session coming on.
Yeah, so I mean, they were only together for a few years in the late 80s, broke up in the early 90s, reformed briefly for a couple albums in the mid to late 90s there. Cool Keith would go on to have a pretty notable solo career as Dr. Octagon.
Very prolific.
Yeah.
So many releases, my God.
Still doing lots of stuff. Yeah, so I really came to like this record a lot. I know they did a couple of things after this that were also pretty notable as well. But for me, this was very impressive. Once again, the album is Ultramagnetic MCs Critical Beatdown.
I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
If you're enjoying the show, and we hope you are, do us a solid and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Spotify, anyone? Maybe we made you laugh or you discovered an album you enjoy. Leaving a review keeps the show going and helps other music fans find us.
On the face of the earth, you know what I'm saying? All the rap stars, all the one you love.
I'm busting out, right? We're gonna start the show off with Eric B and Rakim. Follow the leader.
So you actually heard there the pilot of Yo MTV Raps in the United States, and that was hosted by Run DMC, and that's them introducing the first video ever played on the show in the United States, Follow the Leader. Nice. By Eric B and Rakim. Let's hear some of that.
As soon as you try to step off your self-destruct, I came to overcome before I'm gone by showing and proving and letting ours be born. Then after that, I'll live forever. You disagree, you say never, then follow me from century to century.
That song, Follow the Leader, is from the album Follow the Leader, released in July 1988 by Eric B. and Rakim. It's the second studio album by the American hip-hop duo formed in Long Island in 1986. Features Eric B., born Eric Barrier, who's the DJ, and then Rakim, born William Michael Griffin Jr., who is the rapper. You also get contributions from Rakim's brother, Stevie Blass Griffin, who contributes some instruments, some piano and organ in there. The video for Follow the Leader featured Rakim as a mob boss in a variety of situations, getting a shave, sparing a fellow gangster's life, phone calls with other mob bosses and such.
Making offers that people can't refuse.
Exactly. although this was more inspired by the Untouchables movie from 1987. Mm. My clickbait headline for Follow the Leader is Hip Hop World Follow the New Leaders, Eric B. and Rakim. So again, you know, I'm not a hip hop guru, but I do understand that this album is, or at least Eric B. and Rakim are pretty innovative. Rakim as a rapper, his rhymes were more complex than a lot of the old school rapping that was going on. So you have like internal rhymes, I guess they call them, which basically means you're rhyming not just like the last syllable of a phrase.
Right.
Right. And then multi-syllabic rhymes, right? So it's not just one syllable, but several syllables. So, you know, That's something we take for granted these days, but I guess that was innovative.
If you think about the oldest of old school hip hop, where it was, don't push me because I'm close to the edge, like very slow, very methodical, and then end of line rhymes. And yeah, it started to get much more lyrically flowery and interesting as time went on.
Yeah, and Rakim's just seems... he's kind of chill when he's rapping, right? So it's, you know, coming from his voice sounds deeper. It's kind of smooth and effortless, but still there's an energy there, right? So he's not like sleepy or anything. Pretty minimalistic musically, although it's really impressive. Like, you know, I found the sampling very compelling and the scratching, you know, even the tracks that just feature Eric B, you know, doing his thing. You know, I really enjoyed those. Well, let's hear more. Here's the second cut on the album, Microphone Fiend.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Raging, creeping up the stage and don't it sound amazing? Cause every rhyme is made and thought of, cause it's sort of an addiction. Magnetized.
Yeah, so Microphone Fiend was the second single from the album. The song became kind of a signature track for Rakim. It incorporates these references to substance addiction to illustrate his obsession with the microphone, which I think is a interesting turn. Apparently, the theme was originally just his love for the microphone. It evolved into this microphone fiend idea. And the prominent sample there is the Average White Band's Schoolboy Crush. It's a great foundation for the song. My clickbait headline, Eric B. and Rakim take the mic by force, leveling up the hip-hop game with innovative rhymes. So we talked about on the last album, innovative rhyming and you know, unusual references, but this feels like the next step in some ways, where it's more controlled, mm-hmm. a little smoother, a little less forced sometimes on the rhymes, and that's just more leveling up and innovation. And I think that's kind of the theme of this episode. You know, when we get into the third album, we're all East Coast rappers. Mm-hmm. We aren't, but the albums we're talking about are. It's that sound. That evolution, I think we unintentionally did this without even meaning to, having this discussion throughout the course of these records. Hip-hop was growing up, and Yo MTV Raps really helped bring that to the people and get this stuff out there and got more people innovating.
Yeah, even just, you know, like you were saying, just making these things like public and widely accessible on TV probably did help spur it forward faster, you know, as people are seeing each other's what's going on the East Coast and the West Coast, et cetera. I mean, like...
Well, and inspiring kids to go, hey, I want to do this too. I can do this and I have ideas. And then they are, you know, are the next torchbearers for
yeah, it. Yeah, exactly.
Right, well, let's hear another one. This is Lyrics of Fury.
Worse than a nightmare. You don't have to sleep or wink. The pains of migraine every time you think. Flashbacks interfere. You start to hear the R-A-K-I-M in your ear. Then the...
Yeah, that track is quite impressive, I would say.
Impressive and aggressive.
Yes, both.
Wow, good rhyme.
Rakim just brings it at such a fast pace on that track. Very, very dexterous lyrics there. He really impressed me on that track. I mean, they're really the first three or four tracks on here. He just is on fire, I would say. To me, this album really feels like these other professionals. Like, all right, we'll take it from here, guys. We got it. Thank you. Let the pros take over. They're just so refined and like on point. Everything sounds so perfectly placed and right where it should be. My clickbait headline for this album is Eric B. and Rakim now teaching hip hop masterclasses. That's kind of what this feels like. It's just like the professor, like, all right, let me show you how this is done, boys, kind of thing. I mean, my biggest critique would be it feels a little stiff, maybe, in comparison to some of the other stuff that was going on. It felt maybe a little more loose and you know, free-flowing. This feels very, like, just on point, which is not a bad thing, but it is a difference. Very organized, I guess.
Again, it's part of that leveling up where the albums are becoming more albums and less collections of
just
samples and rhymes, you know? A little more focused, a little more produced, a little more... purpose behind it.
Well, it sounds like we like this record a lot. I think we only have maybe two hip-hop records in the Album Nerds Hall of Fame, so I'm going to try. I am going to nominate Eric B. and Rakim's Follow the Leader to the Album Nerds Hall of Fame. Dude, what do you think?
It's tough, right? Because this space was growing so quickly, and the next album by the next artist was like, whoa. But I do believe that this was a larger step forward than some of the others. It's timing of 1988 as hip hop was really starting to change and getting this forum on MTV and, you know, also on BET Rap City. So television was really helping to push things forward. And I think that Eric B and Rakim do belong in the Album Nerds Hall of Fame for Follow the Leader. It set a new standard.
Andy, he's scratching his beard.
I will say yes as well. I think this is the album from the duo here to go with. And they're so influential, obviously, just as a pair on hip hop. Glad to have them in the Hall of Fame.
Well, congratulations to Eric B and Rakim. Your Follow the Leader is now in the Album Nerds Hall of Fame.
And people did follow the leader.
Yes.
Yes. Got it.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
All right. It's time for Deep Questions by Don. Another very deep one.
Mm. They just get deeper and deeper.
Ouch. So, I was trying to move on.
please.
From what other sources were you exposed to hip hop growing up?
So I grew up in white suburbia in upstate New York. So it was pretty far removed from the hip hop scene. Didn't have cable TV, so didn't have access to this fantastic show. What I did have was a bit of chance. I think I may have told the story before where my friends and I found a mixtape cassette literally in the gutter on our street. Someone must have thrown out of the car window, I'm guessing.
Or someone's parent threw it out. Yeah,
that's probably more likely, actually, in our neighborhood.
This is trash.
Anyway, I brought it home, put it in our cassette player, I guess, in our living room. Mm-hmm. And it was like old school Beastie Boys was on there. There was some LL Cool J on there. Just stuff that for me as like an 8 or 9 year old was like totally mind blowing. It was beatboxing on there. Like I'd never heard anyone beatbox in my life. So like, I didn't even know what was really happening, but it was very interesting.
A couple days later, you're calling your mom and dad whack and they're like, what's happening?
What happened to our son? So that was my first exposure to it. And then in middle school, you know, hip hop started to seep into our culture with like, I remember Criss Cross and like MC Hammer were both very popular. Right. And, you know, as a kid, like it was just new and exciting. I didn't really know what a lot of it was about, but I was into it. So
nice.
How about you, man?
Yeah. I mean, I was a little older and I was familiar with hip hop a little bit just from, being obsessed with breakdancing when I was a little kid and getting those KTEL breakdance compilations. So there'd be like Run DMC and Nucleus and Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel. And I just knew it was this talking music I liked, but I didn't really know
talking music
its source or what it was about, you know? And then in high school, Yo MTV Raps came on. My friends were constantly talking about new artists like Biz Markie and others, and I'd get dubbed cassettes from them. And then, through the 90s, I largely ignored hip hop, but then started working at a record store where a lot of the kids that worked there were MCs and DJs, and they started to teach me about Mos Def and Common and The Roots and like all this stuff that was going on in hip hop over that 10 years that I'd kind of ignored. And it was an illuminating time. And I just want to shout out to Saul as being one of those guys. Hologram One, Undecided, Chill Z, and Clever Your Highness are some of the guys that that I worked with. Those were their names. So
great names. Huh?
When I was a kid, I mean, even though I wasn't listening to hip hop music, it was starting to penetrate like pop culture. So it would kind of end up in movies and in commercials. I remember like the Fat Boys were in Swatch Fat Watch Boy. Commercials.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Swatch. But I remember a friend and I think we may have shoplifted a
what
Donald. I, yeah, from Caldor. which doesn't exist anymore. So I think I'm in the clear. But there was like this, I don't know how we ended up with it, just a random grab, I guess, but a weird rap compilation. I think it was called Power Rap. And actually had like the Chicago Bears stupid Super Bowl shuffle on it. But I had a couple of interesting tracks, including Dougie Fresh and MC Ricky D, that Lottie Dottie song.
Yeah, that's classic.
You know, kind of well known. So yeah, that was, you know, probably like the first real rap I ever listened to.
Well, if the Keldor loss prevention director from the old days retired by now is listening, you know where to get Don. He owes you a tip.
I feel like Don was admitting to some crimes on last week's episode too, if I remember.
Yes, right. Yeah, he did.
You gotta be careful on these deep question segments here, Don.
All right. Well, where else were you exposed to hip hop? Let us know on Instagram or Facebook, or leave a comment on our website, albumnerds.com.
Gangstar in the house, you know what I'm saying? I go by the name of Gifted, Unlimited Rhymes Universal, Google, you know what I'm saying? Down with my man DJ Premier on the Rhythm Scratch. We represent Gangstar coming from Brooklyn.
So I managed to get Guru back on the show.
It's becoming the David Grohl of hip-hop here for us.
He is, man.
We also had the Hoodoo Gurus. Remember them?
That's true. Wow. Australian rock and rollers. That's right. So yeah, I went with Gangstar and their album Step Into the Arena from January of 1991. Influential hip-hop duo consisting of DJ Premier and Guru. And we talked about both of them in previous episodes. Guru specifically, we discussed on the Hip Hop Array episode. We got into his Jazzmatazz, the first album in that series. They're based in Brooklyn, New York, active from 89 to 2003. Guru is no longer with us, unfortunately, but they're considered one of the best MC producer duos in hip hop history, and they pioneered that jazz rap sound. They met in college. Lineup changed over the years, but Guru and DJ Premier were the primaries. All right, so why don't we jump into the album and listen to a little bit of Check the Technique. Just a teeny bit. I'm clever with science, but never relying on false words from cowards who forever be trying. Insisting they come off, I let them get some off, then come back with drum tracks their ears could get numb off. Blockbusting. Yeah, so this was the second album from Gangstar. And it, you know, features Guru's smooth vocals, the introspective lyrics, that incredible production work, and Step in the Arena and Check the Technique both exemplified that synergy between the two. The album talks about life in the city, what was going on in society, love, relationships, but also a lot of I'm the best MC and you suck. And yeah. Check the Technique, really. that gets into it when he starts off by calling other rappers puny protozoa.
You're unevolved in your technique.
And, you know, there's something very academic almost about Guru's lyrics, his even more laid-back delivery than Rakim. Yeah. It just takes you into this sort of nice buzz. Yeah. It just, you can just ride along the whole time. And that's what I really enjoy about this particular record as they continue to evolve.
It's like he's talking to you, not at you. And I feel like a lot of rap, it's at you, you know?
That's a really good point, Don. It does feel like he's trying to spread an ideas as opposed to just bragging about himself. Though he does that some, but there's more to it. There's more depth here. The two of them together work so well because they both have that chill vibe to them. Mm-hmm. They're both a little bit smooth and a little bit laid back. I think that works well together.
Yeah, and to your point, Don, like the track Street Ministry, that is even specifically like preaching the truth of the hip hop gospel, you know, and I do think that they cooked up something special here. My clickbait headline to describe this album: Step into the arena where genius flows, planting seeds on Yo for hip hop to grow. They made several appearances on Yo MTV Raps, and I think that was a great platform for an innovative group that was doing things a little bit differently.
So the Yo is Yo MTV Raps, not like you. Oh, wow.
Exactly. Seeds on Yo.
Exclamation point.
For hip-hop to grow, yes. Okay. More clever than it seemed on the first read.
See though.
All right, so let's get into another track. Here's Who's Gonna Take the Weight. Find your direction through introspection. And for my people out there, I got a question. Can we be the sole controllers of our fate now? Who's gonna take the weight? You can't. otherwise known as the Wii-Hoo song. Sounds like a theremin, kind of.
It does. It does. Yeah. I like that. It sounds a little West Coast to me. We don't really get a lot of West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, it's the fifth single off the album. Seems to be largely about taking responsibility for your own actions, kind of determining your own destiny. I believe the song appears in Grand Theft Auto 4, if you guys are fans.
It's been a while, but yes, I did play that game.
My clickbait headline for this album is, "Step into the arena, then orderly take a seat and calmly discuss the matters at hand." Yeah, I mean, so like we were saying, this album is very laid back, very real, though. It feels like very tangible. The things they're talking about are actually happening. They're real life stories, and Guru is a good storyteller. He always points out the things that I think we should be focusing on throughout the story. Is not he does get into details, but there are always things that I think really do propel the story forward and makes it interesting. Yeah, and then this pairing with DJ Premier, I think, like I was saying, they both just have such a good laid-back vibe to them, but they're both very smart and very, very on point. And it just feels like, you know, this is the step forward. This is where things are going. It's kind of interesting that we sequenced these records the way we did, because you really can feel the progression of from record to record. Is just over a few years, things are really moving quickly in the space.
Unplanned. Yeah, there's the you know, like the track form of Intellect, and there's just like I said that it's sort of scholarly and education and intelligence become part of the braggadociousness. It's part of the what makes us better than the rest of you in the game is we not only have the skills, but we have the vocabulary. Like there's that's an undercurrent there.
It's intelligence.
And most of the time it's used effectively. There's the occasional rhyme where it's like, huh? You know, but it doesn't happen too often. All right, why don't we jump into meaning of the name? What I tell you, it means I find my mind can excel to a greater type of thought brought by the things that I've been taught in relation to things that I rebel to. Divinely combined with a sense of confidence, accomplishments are achieved on floppiness, but sloppiness I could never tolerate.
That closes the album. Just a, you know, it's a boastful track, kind of, you know, summing up what Gangstar is, right? Seek and you shall find. Gangstar stands for mastermind. Yeah, I like that. My clickbait headline is "Sucker Ducks, Check the Technique." So I just, listening to these records here, I became familiar with the term duck, which I guess is a diss. These guys are, you know, calling people who just don't have the skills ducks. So I'm going to start using that a lot. Maybe other professors perpetrating frauds.
There you go.
Sucker ducks. But yeah, you know, I don't have much more to add here. I'm just really impressed with Guru's technique. You know, just the guy talking, you know, and it kind of reminds me of like radio DJs, like the old fashioned radio DJs from the 50s and 60s. They're like, oh, hey, everybody, I'm a clown. At some point, you know, people like Howard Stern just figured out that people like it if you just talk to them.
Just like real about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what Guru does. And it's just very pleasing to the ear.
It's a good point.
But overall, all three of these albums, I think, are really great.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about, the unintentional East Coast sort of evolution that we got into here. And there's tons of other hip hop on YoMTV Raps, including all that West Coast stuff and NWA and all that came from Dr. Dre and Ice Cube. But somehow my mind was more on the musical evolution, not so much the social evolution that a lot of the West Coast rap really started to bring really dark truths to the consciousness of Americans through YoMTV Raps and Rap City as well. But YoMTV Raps in particular, probably hitting more suburban living rooms.
Yeah. Well said, man. Well said.
So with all that being said, I love Guru and I think Gangstar, all of their albums are a great listen, and there's just something special about that particular, they're like a Lennon McCartney sort of situation in my mind in terms of their importance to hip hop and their partnership. So go check out Gangstar, Step in the Arena, if you haven't heard it or if it's been a while.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Well, we've been immersed in the world of late 80s and early 90s hip-hop, but what else are you guys digging lately?
All right, well, I got a handful of things in my new release bag here we can go through. First one up is from a punk rock group by the name of Mannequin Pussy. They have a new album entitled I Got Heaven.
It's a little more laid back in its sound than I would expect from the attention-grabbing band name.
It's weird because as a child, I inspected a lot of mannequins, and you know, there was almost never...
Didn't exist, right? You know. The record does get a little more aggressive as it goes on, I would say.
Okay.
Next one up for me is from a up-and-coming hip-hop artist by the name of Yeet. He put out a record called 2093 that has been taking the trap rap underground by storm the last few months here. Quite a few bangers on this one that are pretty fun to get down to.
Bang. Yeah. This kind of sounds like the, you know, when the brown noise, you know, when there's like the frequency that can
make you poop your pants.
Like, yeah. this kind of...
It's got some low end.
Rattling me bells.
All right, well, hold on, buddy. We're almost done here.
Gotta wear a diaper when I listen to that record.
All right, and the last one here is a pretty interesting record from a group I had never heard of called The Mystic Tide. Apparently, they were around in the 60s in Long Island, doing some garage rock. They put out a record called Frustration. It's a remaster of some singles from the 1960s. Sounds a little bit like Zombies or Them, if you're familiar. Really good. Actually, I've been really enjoying this a lot.
It's quite a guitar solo there.
There's more. Just...
I like that. Sounds off the time, but also, you know, the bands that are a little less known have a little more freedom to let loose and not have to worry about radio and all that stuff.
Yeah, it feels pretty unbridled, but it's cool. I was excited by it. So yeah, if you haven't heard Mystic Tide, that's definitely worth checking out. How about you, Don? What you been listening to?
Well, that jolly fellow from Australia, Nick Cave, is back at it. Nick yeah. Cave and the Bad Seeds. They have an album coming out August 30th called Wild God, but the title track has been released as a single, and I've spent a little time with that.
I mean, so he's like an old man now, but when he gets out on the porch to yell at kids to quiet down in the neighborhood, he's like, cool it out, you're gonna die someday.
Perfect.
Oh, Nick.
Mm-hmm. And then going in another direction, this week, actually, it's a big story. Beyonce's country album is coming out.
How country is it?
I don't know. It's called Cowboy Carter. I haven't paid much attention lately. She's released a couple of singles, but I will check it out just to see, you know, maybe if it's in the spirit of like the Ray Charles record we did back in the day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she's from Texas, right? Mm-hmm.
Right?
Gotta do a country record.
Sounds a little gospel.
Yeah.
At least this.
She is from Texas, I think. Or,
yeah, that's what Andy just said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that part. I was listening to the record. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll shut up.
Certainly worth checking out, I guess. I hadn't heard about that. All right. So for some potentially more expected country, the new Kacey Musgraves album, Deeper Well, was just released, and I had the opportunity to listen to a little bit of that. It's a little more reserved, a little more traditional, I'd say, than some of the other more experimental, psychedelic-y things that she's done. But so far, so good. Nice, pleasant record. What did you guys think of this so far?
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's not super country, but it is... She's a good songwriter. She has a way with simple words of having them get a lot of meaning. So, yeah, I always enjoy her stuff.
Also, in the spirit of Yo MTV Raps and hip hop in general, I did pick up Nas, the 2014 like remaster of Illmatic. Got that on vinyl. I've been trying to add a little hip hop to the collection, and we did talk about this album on the show at one point, but it's somehow just feels a little more like I'm making a greater commitment to hip hop when I actually add some things to the vinyl collection.
Cool.
And doing this show has helped me get there.
Nice.
I'm glad we continue to explore these things because it is making this old man grow his taste a little bit and let some things in that I rejected as a douchey youth.
Well, that record's pretty good, so I'm glad you came around on it.
Right. Well, what are you digging? Let us know. Hit us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Also on our website, albumnerds.com.
It will be a discovery of extraordinary value.
All right, well, it's about that time on the show when I'm reminded of the great American wordsmiths, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
There you go.
Who said, way back in 1979, you gotta dip, dip, dive, so socialize. Clean out your ears and open up your eyes.
Yes, sir.
With that in mind, I bring out my friend and yours, Wadbot, to see what we'll be talking about on next week's show.
Your musical destiny will once again be taking you on a journey through time. You must explore albums from the year 2012. There is, however, a twist. You must choose a Billboard Top 10 album for the year. Best of luck, nerds.
So the top albums of 2012, that black hole of time where my musical exploration was nil. So that's going to be a challenge.
Same here.
Yeah, you revisit some of the best-selling albums from that year that you guys apparently weren't paying any attention to.
That's right.
Good. Can rediscover it together. Breaking news here. Our voting for Meatloaf's Bat Outta Hell is officially closed, and we do have a decision. Congratulations to Mr. Loaf.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Simon.
And Jim Simon. Yeah. You're right. Yep. Welcome to the Elements Hall of Fame for Bat Outta Hell. Congratulations.
Were there any good records in 2012? What else are you listening to? Let us know. Leave a comment on our website or email us at podcast@albumnerds.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Album Nerds. And please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so via PayPal at albumnerds.com/support.
Thank you for joining us once again on the Album Nerds Podcast. We'll catch you next time trying to discover the music of 2012.
Yep, thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you next week.
La-di-da-di, we like to party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody. We're just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock upon the mic, we rock the mic, right?
Wow. Question mark.
Talking about laid-back delivery.
Yes. I'm doing the Slick Rick version. Slick Don.